Well, how's everybody doing this morning? I got to get my faith stool. That's what we call this, my faith stool. Yep. There we go. Oh. Oh, my goodness. What you going to do with it?
Put it in my pocket.
Put it in your pocket. Okay. That's pretty cool. How are you this morning? I tell you what, you guys are looking good, looking good. We're a little bit light this morning, aren't we? Everybody on vacation? How's your knee? You getting better? Yeah, okay. Well, I tell you, what do you guys want to teach me this morning?
What do you want to teach us?
Oh, I'm here to learn. I'm supposed to learn from children.
No,
I'm supposed to become like you.
You're here to teach, not learn.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? We're all here to learn together. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah. Well, listen, I got a question for you. And this, I kind of wrestled with this working with young people because I've never had a problem with worry. Lions of sin. I was waiting for that. I have had a problem with telling the truth, though. Right? But you know what? We gotta remember something. This simple truth: God's in charge. God's in charge. Now there are things happen that we don't understand. There are things happen that maybe we don't like, you know, in our world and in our lives. But we trust that God knows what's best and everything will work out and be okay. But you know what? Did you, when you got up this morning, did you worry about the sun being up?
No.
No. Why?
Because it always comes up.
Because it always comes up, yeah. Well, we got some distance learners over here. Yeah.
Unless it's cloudy.
Oh, if it's cloudy, the sun's still up, right?
Yeah, but it's behind them.
Well, yeah, but it's still there. How many of you have a home? Oh, okay. Did you eat breakfast this morning? Yeah. Did you eat supper last night? Yeah. Did you worry about it?
No.
And sometimes, now listen, I got to tell you kids something for real. There are kids in the world that didn't get breakfast this morning, and they didn't get supper last night. But you know what? We need to pray for them, and we need to do what we can to support those needs. But the bottom line is this: how many of you believe that God can take care of us? How many of you believe that God is able to take care of us? Now, I'm still learning that. I'm being honest with you. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Right? So why worry? Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. But in everything, pray. Pray, you know? And God will take care of us. You know what? He feeds the birds, right?
Yeah.
And he puts flowers in the fields.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think he cares about us?
Yeah.
He cares about us, doesn't he? Yeah. So guys, remember just this great, great truth. Jesus loves you, okay? Don't ever, ever forget that. And God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. In other words, he'll never leave us or forget about us, okay? Trust him. And when worry comes or you're worried about, how many are in school? You had a test yet? Did you worry about it? Oh, all right, because you studied and prepared, right? Oh, it was the review from last year. Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of like communion, isn't it? Frank was just talking about. You know, we got to be reminded. We got to be reminded. That's so you review it, right?
Oh. Scratch my arm.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Can we pray? Can we pray for your arm that it'll get better? Would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
let's
hold the cat.
Oh, the cat did it. Well, let's pray for the cat, too, okay? Yeah? No, it's okay. Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah, let's pray right now. Let's pray. Father, we pray right now for this hurt arm, for this scratch, and we pray that you would just touch this little girl and you would heal her arm, and Jesus, take care of it. Amen. Amen.
It's go away?
Yeah, it'll go away because Jesus is going to heal it, okay?
Okay.
Okay. That's, there you go. Wasn't that simple? Guys, that's the best lesson we can all learn today. God cares about the scratches on our arms. Yeah. You guys go ahead. We may be here a while. Just go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's precious. Don't you dare worry about it. It's precious. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for these children. I thank you for their honesty, their openness, their willingness to just step out and say, I got a scratch. It hurts. And Father, I thank you for the confidence that we have that you're going to take care of it. And we pray for that cat too, don't we? And some medicine. We may need an interpreter now. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Jesus, amen.
All right. I don't remember where I was going with my children's sermon. I have no idea where. Children may go to children's church, released to go. My goodness, folks, was that precious? That's real. That's real. You know, I pray that we can be so real with each other and with the Lord. Yeah. Mean old cat. You know my comeback to that, don't you? Yeah, I like cats. I just can't eat a whole one. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Well, this is as spiritual as it gets, folks, right here. Oh, a quick update, very, very important. Richard Hooker was having just a little bit of a medical issue this morning. It was determined that it was nothing serious. He kind of caught his breath, and we provided transportation to get he and Mary home. And Richard was doing just fine when they left here. He was just a little weak-kneed, a little wobbly. So thank you for your prayers. Richard and Mary are doing fine. And I also understand that Gary Silver is not with us this morning, and Helen, but Gary is a little under the weather, so I want to remember Gary at this time. And you know what? I need to catch my breath. Brother Gary Collins, I would appreciate if you would pray for me and the remainder of our service. Would you lift up this time in prayer, please? We have been making our way through the book of 1 Peter, a book that has the thread of suffering running through it. But it's important, I think, that we understand one of the things that Peter emphasized or makes note of is the point of suffering as a Christian. The point is how we suffer because of our faith. Now, suffering is going to be a part of our life. We're all going to experience suffering through trial, through sorrow, through loss, through struggles of life. But suffering because of our faith is going to be the emphasis. And that's what Peter's trying to emphasize. All right? Times of persecution. They demand that God's people have adequate leadership. And that's where we're going in our text today. We're going to talk about leadership in the church. There are specific things that Peter will say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There are specific things he will say to the elders or leaders of the church. But in it, we will find general application that we all need to pay attention to. So, and he also says that judgment's going to begin with the house of God. Well, that means the house better be in order. Amen? I was walking out of a Lansing Correctional Facility. Actually, I was walking out of the cell block, and there was a group of men sitting there under a stairwell. They were kind of set it up. I don't know where they gather there often, Gary, in the pod, but they sitting there kind of rocked back on their chair and just kind of watching everything go by. And I just walked up. I like talking to all these guys. And I said, "Men, this reminds me of the city gate." I said, where the wise men, the elders of the city would gather and sit at the city gate. One old boy looked up at me and said, "Boy, is this city in trouble." So he recognized that he may not be the man for the calling on that day. But Peter wrote this special message, the one that we're about to enter into, to the leaders of the church to encourage them. It's to encourage and to inspire them on in their work of faithfulness. Too often we see where leaders want to run when the going gets tough, and Jesus would call them the hirelings instead of the shepherds. Amen. So the New Testament assemblies, a very brief background, were organized under the leadership of elders and deacons. The word elder or bishop refers to the same office. The word bishop is often translated overseer. And note that this title was even applied to Christ as an overseer. Elder, the maturity of the office, and bishop, the responsibility of the office. And the word pastor, interchangeable with the title elder and pastor. Peter was concerned that the leadership of the local churches needed to be at their best. Have you ever thought of a better time to do that? The day that we're in, the age that we're living in right now, folks, we got to be at our best. And that best means a surrendered life to the Lord Jesus Christ, living under the lordship of Christ, following him, trusting him in all that we say and do. Times are going to get increasingly worse. Praise God for the good news. Amen. The great experiment, and let me just say this, it's not a political statement. I'm just putting things in context of what our culture, where we live. I am afraid that the great experiment of our founding fathers has run its course. I believe that the republic is seeing its end. I believe that democracy has been replaced by tyrannical rule. Corruption dominates. Welcome to the new world order. And what a time to be the church. What a time to be the church in these times. All politics aside, all the stuff that's going on aside, this will be the finest hour for God's people. That's the day that we live in. So what is our response? This is not oversimplified. This is just stating a fact. What is our response to all of this? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach, bear witness to the power of Jesus Christ. Reach the lost, disciple the saved, and guard the flock. Let's stand. As we read from 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll finish up this epistle this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Father, we do pray that you would bless and be honored by the reading of your word this morning. This is your word given to us. May it find a place to rest in our hearts, where it may take root and grow, and may we be changed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The whole point of somewhat of a fragmented intro was to literally set the stage that in a politically correct, woke culture, there is very little room for Christian values. Another thing that happened this week at Lansing Correctional Facility, it was a great time. Gary and I just love those gentlemen to pieces, and we learn a lot. We learn a lot being locked up, Gary. I want you to know that, too. We learn a lot from those guys. But part of our discussion this week ended up being, very quickly, we got men in there who have 25-plus years behind them. We've got men in there who have 20 years to go before they'll even see their first parole. We've got short-timers, long-timers. We've got everything in there. But these men, incarcerated, were talking about how bad it is on the outside. No, I'm serious. That was our discussion, wasn't it, Gary? These men are extremely concerned about the culture that exists on the outside of the prison walls. They're very concerned about everything that's going on. They're concerned about their families who are waiting for their release. They're concerned about children that they have that they can't at this time have personal contact. You know, they're worried about us. Come on, folks. That's real. They're praying for us, because they see the issues that we're facing out here. So we need to be as aware as they are, as they are. A very simple outline that I'm going to use this morning. One of my favorite authors of all time, Warren Wiersbe, and I make no apology for borrowing his three-point outline. It just fits so well, and it comes in three simple phrases. First one, be faithful. The command that we have in this text for these times that we're in, the same kind of times that Peter was in, okay? Same kind, corrupt government, violence, division, everything going on in the empire. And so Peter writes this letter as a current event with future application. But the point of 1.1 is be faithful. This begins with the leaders of the church demonstrating a deep, vital, living, growing, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Church leadership must visibly walk with God. Walk with God. Paul's charge to Timothy, until I come, he says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both you yourselves and the hearers. If you read that passage, you can't help but see the intensity of the responsibility of elders and leadership in the church. If we aren't growing, if we aren't immersed in the Word of God, if we're not being transformed day after day after day by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, why in the world would we want to be, or should we be, leading anyone else, brothers and sisters? This is a command, a charge, an exhortation, a challenge that we must be about growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elders must constantly be moving forward in their studies and in their ministry. If the elders are not growing in their faith and the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the church will suffer. Lead by example, men. Lead by example. The shepherd would always be out front, leading the sheep to the next grazing area, making sure they stayed away from noxious and harmful weeds. He leads them to good water for a refreshing drink. When evening came, the shepherd would provide a corral or a pen of sorts out of stone or wood. This secured area would only have one entrance and one exit, and that's where the shepherd slept. That's how the shepherd led the flock. I used to have many years ago. Boy, I tell you, about a long time ago now, before I was even saved, before I was called into the full-time gospel ministry, my supervisor had a sign over his desk, a rather large one, and it said, "Which way did they go? How fast were they moving? I must hasten after them before I am their leader." Have you ever felt like that, elders? Which way did they go? How fast were they moving? I got to catch them because I'm their leader. I've been there. Be faithful, men. Be faithful. Allow me to read from Jesus' own words. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is hired and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Elders, are we willing to lay down our life for the sheep? Hirelings run away. Elders must remain and guard the flock. The elders' ministry, number one, shepherd the flock. Feed, lead, encourage, disciple, guard. The elders' motive, God's calling. God's calling in our hearts, a willing heart, and not for prestige, power, or promotion. So the ministry, shepherd the flock. The motive, obey God's calling. The manner, leadership, not dictatorship. Overseers, not overlords. We do not demand respect. We earn it through godly living and sacrificial living. The reward, not today. Not today. Not in this earthly life, but when Christ, the chief shepherd, appears. So be faithful, elders. Be faithful. Walk in your calling. Walk with God. Walk in grace. Secondly, be humble. Be humble. Have a sincere love for God's sheep, submitting to one another, trusting the elders' calling and leadership and gifting by the Holy Spirit, trusting in those things. And remember that pride is one of the seven things that God hates. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Pride is listed in that seven. But all genuine submission begins with submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with humility. Remember when Jesus laid aside his outer garments and put a towel on to become a servant, and he washed the sheep's feet. Peter actually uses a quote from Proverbs chapter 3. James uses the same quote in chapter 4 and verse 6 of his writing. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submission, humility, walk hand in hand. They are evidences of faith, trusting God to direct our lives and work out his plan and purpose in our life. And the driving principle and power is we now can cast all our anxieties on him because he cared for us. What a wonderful passage, brothers and sisters. What a passage of hope. What a passage we can cling to. Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares. What other world religion can proclaim that? What other religion can proclaim the caring and compassionate grace and mercy of a God? No other one has a God like ours, brothers and sisters. God then shows his love by giving us courage to face our concerns, wisdom to understand the situation, strength to do what must be and should be done, and faith to trust him no matter what. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That's what we need to know in these end times, folks. We need to know that. We need to trust a God who is infinitely wise, infinitely all-knowing, infinitely all-powerful. We need to have a God like that who is seated on his throne, and we need a Savior who's seated at his right hand at his rightful place in glory, interceding on behalf of the saints as our great high priest. What a God, what a Savior, what a Spirit who brings that truth into our lives. Amen? That's our God. That's our God in the days of Peter and in the days of Elvin Dillard and Grace Community Church. He has not changed. I pray that we have not also. Be watchful. Be faithful. Be humble. Be watchful. The scripture says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom or someone to devour. And what is our response? Resist him. Resist him. Firm, stay firm in your faith, knowing that you're not alone, knowing that this suffering is all over the world, being experienced by our brotherhood throughout the globe. Folks, we are sometimes so far separated from the really horrific news. There is a genocide going on in nations in Africa right now. There's a genocide going on in Afghanistan right now. People are being murdered for their Christian faith by radical religions, corrupt governments, or whatever the case. They're being murdered. Their property is being stolen. Their properties, their houses are being burnt. Their churches are being set on fire. Even as we speak right now, there are people gathering in parts of the world that know this could be their last moment together. And yet they're worshiping God. Is that day coming to America? I don't know. But we need to be prepared for whatever's coming. Be watchful. Our deepest desire must be to please Christ and Christ alone. I read too many articles. I read too much. I read too much. I need to read more here and less over there. That makes sense. But there's some good information out there, some convicting information from reliable Christian authors and sources. But, you know, the job market's not looking real good, right? There's all kinds of problems in the job market. Well, guess what? We're facing a preacher shortage. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. but literally, there are more preachers, more pastors leaving the ministry than and going into other types I hate to even use that word, other types of work or other vocations, maybe I should say. But now certain areas of the country are facing a preacher shortage. That's unreal, isn't it? That's unreal. But that desire to please Christ. Who better than Peter would know about the prowling lion? Who would know better? Who would know better about the adversary? An adversary means one who accuses. Devil means the slanderer. Satan comes to us in a couple of ways. A serpent to deceive, a lion to devour. He is a liar and a murderer. And how do we maintain the victory? Be alert, resist him, believe. We resist by faith. Faith in the victory that Christ has already obtained for us. And remember, we're not alone in this. We need each other. The family of God needs each other to stand shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm in resisting the devil. And remember who the conqueror is. We're not alone. Other believers around the world are going through times of persecution. But folks, here is the ultimate challenge, and we're getting close to the end. We must make sure that we're standing on firm foundation. We must make sure we are standing on the rock. We must make sure that we are doctrinally sound. No compromises. What we believe about morality and values must be directed by the words of Scripture, not my opinion, not the culture's idea of what's right and wrong. Matter of fact, where are we at? They call right wrong and wrong right. They call good evil and evil good. Folks, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Firm foundation, standing on the rock, proclaiming the truth, unapologetic, in love, with grace, with mercy, but telling the world that there is a better way. There is absolute truth. His name is Jesus Christ. There is an absolute authority. An absolute authority that will direct our lives. It's called the Word of God. And we must never apologize for that and never shy away from it. Will we be popular? This is not a popular vote, folks. We will not be popular as society continues to decline. But I'll tell you what, people will come. I'm telling you, people will come because down deep in the very core of human beings, they want to know something of value. They want to know there's something out there greater than them. They want to know there's hope. They want to know there's truth. And we have it. We have it. And as much as Peter has focused on sufferings and the trials of believers for the followers of Christ, his main point, it may surprise you, has always been grace. It's always been grace. Let's read together, or listen and read on the screen, these closing verses from 1 Peter. Verses 10 through 14. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. And so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Peter reminds all of us that our God is the God of all grace. We live from grace to grace, grace upon grace. For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Let me give you 8 illustrations of this. The Christian life begins with saving grace. It continues with serving grace. Then it's sanctifying grace. Then it's sacrificing grace. Then it's singing grace. Then it's speaking grace. Then it's strengthening grace. Then it's suffering grace. Then when we think things are just too tough to go on, he gives us more grace, James 4:6. This letter's about grace. It's about grace. And I have all those scripture references if you would like to have them. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, I want you to please just reflect on this for a moment. Will himself. Who's doing it? God. God's doing it. Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Folks, I don't know about you. But I'm a sinner, and I need a God of all grace. I need a God of all grace. You do too. You do too. And so does the world. See, I got to be very careful because as I said earlier, I read these things. I pick up on these things. I don't watch much news anymore, but I read too much of the news. You know, I do. And then what happens is you end up talking about all the bad things. Why do I want to talk about the bad things when we have the best of things to talk about? So forgive me if I dwell too long on the bad things. I want everybody here to leave knowing what a great God we have. What a great God we have. A God of mercy, a God of grace, a God who is calling us unto himself, a God who is willing to sacrifice his only son to pay a price that we owed, to pay our sin debt. A God that saves us and then loves us too much to even leave us where we're at because he wants to sanctify us. He wants to make us more like his son. What a model. What a model. God says, I love you and I love my son. You know what? Shane, God wants you to look just like Jesus. He wants you to look just like Jesus. That's a good dad. That's a good dad. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, today would be a great day to do that by admitting that you're a sinner and those sins have forever separated you from a holy and righteous and pure God, a God that loves you, a God that created you. And to understand that Jesus died for those sins. And by faith, we believe that he died for my sins so that I could be reconciled to my Creator, my God, my Father. If you've never done that with a sincere heart, then we invite you to consider that this morning. And only the Holy Spirit can bring you to that moment. Only the Holy Spirit can bring that conviction that brings salvation. But folks, things are going to get tough. But God already won. He already won. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the time we've had here together. As we walk through the scripture, I pray, Father, that as leaders in the church, we have been challenged to the awesome responsibility that we have. And Father, if nothing else is remembered, the one thing that's most important is we must love the sheep. We must love the sheep. We must feed the sheep. We must watch over the sheep. We must encourage the sheep in these last days. And Father, never forget that we are one. We are a sheep under the charge of the Great Shepherd. And Father, for the rest of your church, she's beautiful. Oh, she's beautiful. Robed in the righteousness of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Good job, Jesus. Good job. And we do give all the glory to you, for it's in your precious and beautiful name that we pray. Amen.